This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to a new week of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. It's the number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube channel with me, your host, Nigel Seeley, and our senior ATP handicapper, it's Sean Calvert, brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Sean, good morning to good afternoon to you on a Sunday afternoon. Bright and a bit breezy, but a bright Sunday afternoon. How are you?
Very breezy. I'm all right. There's a storm, whatever the name is.
Kathleen.
Is it? It never seems to get past about L or M. You never get a storm like, I don't know.
We had a storm Nigel last year.
Okay, but that's only N, isn't it? There's no where's the W's and where's the Storm Wilfrid and stuff like that. Why does it never get that far down the alphabet? That's a question. Wow. I'm sure somebody will be able to answer off the top of their head, but I don't know what's going on. They always seem to be J, K, H. They never seem to get that far.
No. Anyway, I think some of them don't actually aren't forceful enough to be noted. I think there are ones going W's and Z's and things like that.
Do you remember one? I remember them all being like H, J, G. Okay, they don't seem to get that far. I'm gonna have to investigate that.
In my little brain cells, I don't really have a massive knowledge on storms across the Atlantic, to be honest with you. But I didn't know there was a storm Nigel because I thought
there's never been a storm Sean. It's never got down that far.
Well, there was a storm Nigel that erupted when I come back here from my trip in Portugal. She wasn't happy at all. Mrs. S.
Oh really? Why not?
She's not happy with me. Just not happy with my behavior. I've come back with a really bad throat infection, really bad, and I'm on antibiotics and it's just swollen up. So if I struggle to, I muffle at the best of times. So if you're struggling,
you got some Strepsils to hand or something.
I've got this spray, a little spray, but I don't like putting in that. In the
just suck a Strepsil. That's what I normally do. Just have one of them.
Sean, it's the tonsils at the back of the throat. They've gone double and they're dangling down. It feels like you're going to the gag.
Strepsil's not going to cut it, is what you're telling me.
I have a gag reflex anyway. And now these tonsils dangling down, I feel really bad. But anyway, I'm soldiering on. It's not going to stop me coming on here. Busy week. I went to that tournament. What a great little venue. And it's coming off the tour. What a great little venue that place is.
It's nice. Yeah, Cascais, really nice. As I said, is a really nice spot. Estoril, I'm not quite so sure about, but because the tournament's kind of in the middle of nowhere, isn't it? Unless you drive, you've got no chance of getting there. It's right in the middle of nowhere by a big old roundabout, isn't it? You've got no hope if you're walking. But
well, we did walk. We were given the wrong instructions. We walked. Someone told us it's only 800 meters up the hill. Well,
you don't. You could have asked me. I could have told you. It's in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I always drove or got a cab to there. I like to walk everywhere, but that is in the middle of nowhere, that place. Yeah, but this is a lovely little spot, really nice down by the sea. I like it a lot. It's just for next year, but you know, so be it.
It's terrible though. I mean, why? It's a good little venue, nice little venue. Great,
it's to do with money, isn't it? It's to do with money. I can't tell you what goes on in the politics of the ATP tour, but it's bound to have something to do with cash, I should think.
Yeah, Cascais, good tournament. It's for the finals a bit later on today. Hercash in his first clay tournament final up against Martinez.
Massive missed opportunity for Musetti. Huge. I mean, Borges played out of his skin. That's probably the best match he's played in his life to beat Musetti. But Musetti should have been making the final of that tournament all day long. But yeah. such is betting.
We were watching that match and the home crowd got him over the line for sure. Musetti had an early break up and looked really good, and then just fell to pieces. Borges did play exceptionally well. This week, we have a tournament in Monte Carlo. It's a big one. It's an ATP Tour 1000 event. It's a big one for betting. This is where the clay tournament season really, really gets going in this tournament here. I'm going out to Monte Carlo on Tuesday. I'm flying out on Tuesday.
Are you going there as well, are you? Cool, you're clocking up the miles.
Well, no, I know. It was Mrs. S's favourite venue last year. She liked this. Yeah. So it's the one.
I see what's going on here. She's annoyed with you about about Estoril, and you're coming in with the should we go to that's what's happening, isn't it?
It's been long in the diary, but yes, I'm trying to use it as a kind of a peace offering as well. So yes, it's been long in the diary. We're headed out on Tuesday, so you can follow the adventures on Instagram. They probably won't be as fun as myself and Lord Elkhorst, Simon Holden over there. And we stayed in the hotel with all the players. All the players were there, sitting and watching the matches in the evening with all the players. Right.
I think I saw a photo of you and Gasquet and Simon Holden. That's about all I saw, really.
It was something where we had Kachim was watching a match. A lot of Argentinian players, they're watching Courier play.
I think Kashi needs to watch a lot of matches to remember what it's like being a professional tennis player. He hasn't won for about 6 months.
Well, I'm sure that he will take a lot of what the notes what we said to him, and that will make him improve. Anyway, this week, though, there's better people to listen to than me coaching tennis, that's for sure. This week, we have Monte Carlo. As I say, it's the big tournament. It's a 1,000 event on clay. It's sort of the real build-up now. Everything gets going. The summer's not far away. The spring's here. The weather's pretty good. So it starts feeling quite good this time of year. And it's a star-studded tournament, as you would expect. No Rafael Nadal in it. Obviously, he's injured. But it's a really, really interesting one. And it's one of the slowest tournaments on the calendar, isn't it? It's very, very slow here in Monaco. And that's going to play a big factor in who's going to win this tournament.
Yeah, statistically, the slowest conditions of the year in terms of holds and first serve points won. There's only Umag, really, that rivals it in terms of slowness, if you want to call it that. Tiebreak matches, only 28% of the matches here feature a tiebreak on average. And unders, there's quite a big trend to under 22.5 games. That's cashed 56% of the time in the last seven editions. So if you're overs or unders backer, you want to be on the unders generally when you're in Monte Carlo. Not the greatest of tournaments for underdog winners. It's one of the worst of the year. If you take the Grand Slams out of the equation, it's one of the worst ones. Only 28% on average underdog winners win in Monte Carlo. And quite weirdly, the first rounds, round one and two, are the worst at 25% and 24%. Strangely, the later rounds have produced far more underdog winners than the early rounds, which is quite unusual. But yeah, that's the conditions.
Yeah, there is matches being played now. The first round actually starts today on a Sunday. It's a bit unusual. Yeah, but
it's on now. I've got it on my screen.
There's four matches being played today in the first round. So check the BetRivers website out for the outright markets and the tournament winner. And when you say unders, there's been four completed matches today, all cashed and overs.
There you go.
They're qualified. Yeah,
but they're quite so. Though, this is main draw stats.
Yeah, main draw. Well, the unders is the trend. Let's have a look at the outright market and let's look at the draw before we give the odds. Last year, before we do that, I looked at the figures going into this time of the year, this year and last year. They're pretty much identical. You know, we were very, very small behind going into Monte Carlo, and we hit Rublev and won it, and then we went on a heater for the rest of the season. So it's this 2024 is really replicating what we did in 2023, more or less to very, very close in terms of the figures.
Yeah, the outrights have been pretty difficult, haven't they? We've had a couple of semi-final losers at really big prices. Obviously, Medvedev two sets up, lost the Australian Open final. And a couple are just with good spots, but some of them have won the week after or 2 weeks after or whatever, or got to the final. That's happened two or three times, hasn't it? The Massetti last week. So you get that with the outright betting. You know, sometimes you can go on a period where just everything loses in the semis or whatever, or the first round, and then you get a couple of big price ones in within a month or two of each other, and it all sort of writes itself again. But it's very high variance stuff, the outrights, particularly when you're backing at the prices I generally do.
Exactly. And that's what happened last year. And I think that will continue again through the conclusion of 2024. As I said, we gave Rublev last year to win this tournament 33-1. He landed. He's not 33-1 this time around. Just to give you the order of how the draw is panned out, the top eight seeds are through to the last 32, and the other players have to then play the right to play them. In the top half of the draw is Novak Djokovic against Alexander Rublev. Carlos Alcaraz will play Casper Ruud if he goes to draw, obviously. Zverev, Medvedev, and Rune and Sinner. If we look at Djokovic's record here, he's only ever won it twice, 2015 and 2013. It was dominated by Nadal. Last year, as I said, Rublev won it. Tsitsipas won it in 2021 and 2022. Fognini shot the tennis world in 2019 with a win here. But it's been dominated by Rafa Nadal, hasn't it? And it is in a tournament that Novak has a good record and doesn't really perform. He's won it twice, and it's better than anybody else. You say it's a brilliant record, but by Novak standards, isn't a great record here in Monte Carlo.
Yeah, it's poor. He always takes poor by his standards. It always takes him time to get going on the clays. He's not been shy about saying that over the years. As far as the trends are concerned, it's been won by a top five seed every year since 2005, apart from that one year that you mentioned when Fognini won it at 200-1 and Lajovic was the runner-up at 300-1. That was 2019. Every other year, basically in the last 18 editions or whatever, it's been won by a top five seed. Quite a lot of big price finalists have sneaked through here. As I've said, Fognini and Lajovic were huge prices. Davidovich Fokina beat Djokovic and ended up making the final 150-1. 2022. Nishikori was a 66-1 finalist here. Ramos was 150-1 finalist here. Albert Ramos, and Monfils was 100-1 when he made the final in 2016. But only one top seed has won it in the last seven editions. That's mainly because the number one seed has been Djokovic by and large. And he hasn't made a semi-final here since he won it in 2015, I think it was. Qualifiers don't do particularly well here. The last qualifier to make the semi-finals here was Gasquet in 2005. So again, a good sort of 18, 19 years ago. So those are the trends. Just quickly on the weather, it just looks like it's going to be kind of service as usual for Monte Carlo, around about 18, 19, 20 degrees. But there is some rain likely on Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's never hot enough here at this time of year to make it quicker. You know, it's always a little bit on the slow side. So yeah, there's your trends.
They're the trends, and here are the runners and riders. Novak Djokovic goes into a tournament, the number one seed, but the third favourite with Bet Rivers. I think that's a long time since that's happened, especially Nadal and Federer haven't been in the round. I can't believe Djokovic has gone into a tournament, hasn't started favourite. Maybe the French Open last year, but other than that, it's very rare. Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner are the joint favourites, plus 275. Alcaraz, obviously, probably you would say they've got the better clay court stats, but Sinner obviously on this unbelievably good winning run again, obviously in Miami, the Australian Open already this year, and staking a claim to be the number one tennis player in the world on current form. Novak Djokovic is 3-1. Alexander Zverev is 8, which does seem a little bit skinny to me. Andre Rublev, as I said, he was our tournament pick last year at 33, 12-1 is the price. And that Casper Ruud, he didn't play at all well in Estoril. Didn't look happy to me again on the back of some performances in Miami. Wasn't happy. 12-1. Grigor Dimitrov, the finalist in Miami, 16. Medvedev, who just can't have him on clay, 16. Holger Rune, 16. Stefanos Tsitsipas at 16. And you got big prices after that. 50-1. Matteo Berrettini. Djokovic, I mean, the talking point here is that he is the third favorite. I mean, that is the breaking news. Djokovic goes into the tournament here as the third favorite. Do you think that's what we're going to see now? Trend for this year that he's the number three as far as the betting is concerned for the bettors.
At the minute, he is number three or four, isn't he? Given what he's shown so far this season, you wouldn't put him in that category. You know, he's been very poor by his standards so far this year. And this particular tournament, I think the bookies know now that he's never at the races here. And I think generally, you know, the age he's at now, is he that bothered about winning another Masters? I'm not so sure that he is. I think he's just using these two or three tournaments, however many he's going to play, to try and pique himself for the French Open. That's what he's interested in. He's interested in getting more majors. I should imagine he's interested in getting an Olympic gold medal as well later on in the year. I should imagine that's high in his thoughts. But I don't think he really cares. I don't think he's that bothered about winning something like the Monte Carlo Masters. You know, I know he's got a home here and he stays here. He's very familiar with the conditions, but it takes him an awfully long time to get up to speed on the clay anyway. And that's even sometimes coming back from a successful start to the year. He's always generally gone well in Australia, hasn't he? And then he wasn't able to play the American tournaments in recent years, but he never gets up to speed quickly. So I would be a fade for him this week. I'd be very, very surprised if he won this tournament.
Yep, he's the third favourite at $3, but a fade for Sean. He's always going to be popular, though, with the bettors because he's just Novak Djokovic. Carlos Alcaraz is plus 275, and Jannik Sinner is plus 275, joint favourites. Sinner has to hit a bit of... he's playing a lot of tennis and doing well. He's got to be exhausted, isn't he? And obviously, physicality is always the problem with Sinner as well. Would you be concerned about the amount of tennis he's played?
Yes. Yeah. If I was backing Sinner, people will, because, you know, they've seen what he's done so far this season, also at the back end of last season. He's beating all comers pretty much, isn't he? Apart from Alcaraz at Indian Wells. Is he going to be able to play that style of tennis as successfully on the clay? Not sure. You know, it takes a lot more effort to win tournaments on the clay. You know, he's able to blast people away on the quicker surfaces. We saw at Indian Wells, he's not necessarily able to do that as well against Alcaraz, you know, on the slower surfaces. Played an awful lot of tennis. I wouldn't be happy about backing Sinner at that price. Particularly, he's in the bottom half of the draw as well, which for me looks a lot tougher.
Mm. So, by means of elimination, if we can't have Djokovic, we can't have Sinner. Probably the leading contender for you would be Carlos Alcaraz here at +275.
Yeah, I mean, it's not normally my kind of bet, but looking in my kind of price, should I say? But just looking at the top half of the draw here, who's going to beat him unless someone comes up with an absolutely stunning day, you know, and Alcaraz is a little bit potentially slow to adapt to the clay. That doesn't seem likely. Djokovic, as I say, I will most likely be taking him on in either the first round or the second round. We don't know who he plays yet. Might be Safiulin. You know, that might be difficult for Djokovic, given his record here. He's lost the likes of Dan Evans and all sorts. Rublev, it's asking a lot, isn't it? Rublev, at that price, he's no value anyway. What is he, 12 to 1?
12 to 1, yeah.
Yeah, we backed him at 33 to 1 last year. That's the price he should be, really, this year. I can't see why he's that short. He's done, since that incident in Dubai where he got defaulted, he's done nothing. He's been blown off the court a couple of times. He can't be coming in here with any confidence, although he is in the same mini section as Djokovic. Maybe he'll get a bit of luck to get to the latter stages. Casper Ruud looked like he was struggling physically yesterday. Had a hamstring issue in a loss to Pedro Martinez. He's not, for me, in the class of Alcaraz anyway on the clay. So for me, I'm taking Alcaraz in the top half. I'm just not sure who's going to beat him.
Decorder is in there. I mean, he's not, Ruud is not playing at all well, as you said. You know, you've got Hercash. I mean, he's just got to the final here. He's shot that he's got to the final. He's not one of the number two seed in Estoril, but this is not a clay quarter. It's going to be slower than ever over there. And he could be an early casualty, I think, coming back out from the...
We've got Jack Draper. That's not an easy first round draw.
Rublev, obviously, no value at the price. And now Alcaraz does look the standout at +275 to win it in what does look like a... Djokovic's semi-final potentially against Djokovic, but that's saying if Djokovic gets through. So
I can't see him getting through. You know, he hasn't since 2015, so there's no reason to think that he will do now. He might do, obviously. He's Novak Djokovic, but history suggests that it's unlikely. So that might be... I was toying with the idea of Musetti at 151, but he's playing today, isn't he, against Taylor Fritz in a virtual 50-50. So, you know, I can't... Even if I wanted to, I couldn't recommend that because by the time this is live, that match is probably finished or in play. So, but he's the one I thought of at the prices in the top half of the draw, Musetti. But this bottom half of the draw for me is interesting. Do you want me to go through this?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I mean, the candidates here, Zverev is quite possible. I've gone through the service points and return points, one totals on clay of all these guys, specifically in the bottom half of the draw, see where they're at on the clay. Because initially I thought Holger Rune might be reasonable at 16 to 1, but based on the stats, not really. He's behind Zverev, Tsitsipas, Medvedev, obviously Sinner. He's behind all those guys. So 16 to 1, not for me, really. Zverev much too short at 8 to 1. I'm not sure where that price comes from. Where it comes from is that he does have very good clay stats over the last year. Service points, one and return points, one total of 107. And a service hold and break total of 114. But then you go on to Tsitsipas. He's slightly better. Slightly better on service points won and return points won by 1 point, 108. A service hold and break total of 112, just 2 points behind. And he's over double the price. So the problem with Tsitsipas, obviously, is that he doesn't look like he's really bothered about tennis at the minute. Mm. It might be the case that he comes back here where he's got a great record, 16-3 win-loss at this particular tournament, Tsitsipas. You would think if anywhere is going to spark him into life, it would be on clay at what it's been his most successful tournament. So that's a possibility. Sinner, as I say, I just feel like at some point he's going to have a physical breakdown. I'd be tempted on Tsitsipas, but that price, no, 16 to 1, not good enough for me. So yeah, I think I'm just going to stick. That's a very boring selection. I'm going to have to stick with Alcaraz. I'm not sure who actually beat him in the top half. And as I say,
it's not boring. I mean, the end of the day, these three are way, way, way above anyone else currently. Or Alcaraz and Sinner are way above anyone else. Djokovic isn't so much. But that's the books are here saying it's a 77% chance that one of those three players will win the tournament.
And feels about right, doesn't it?
The way the things are going at the moment, it does seem about right. So Alcaraz here could be the main dominant factor to win this tournament and the man to be with on the clay, because obviously he's the one we believe will be more suited to these conditions. And when you consider he's plus 275 to win this, and he's plus 180 with Bet Rivers to win the French Open, probably 275 is a big price.
Yeah, I think it's backable price. It's not the best price in the world, and it's not the sort of price I would normally look at or look for, but I'm just not sure that he's got too much great opposition. Early on, it's hard to see him losing to either Felix or whoever the qualifier is on clay. That doesn't seem likely. He hasn't got anybody else in that section. Humbert, maybe if he has an absolutely lights-out day, but you would have thought it'd be too slow for him here. I can't oppose him in that top half at all. So if you can't oppose him, then back him. That's it.
I like the price. 275, Carlos Alcaraz. When Sean Hallett gives you a pick on one of the tournament favourites, you have to take note, because it's very rare. And they usually do very well. So Alcaraz here, plus 275, currently plus 180 at Bet Rivers. Head across to the Bet Rivers website for all the outright prices on the Monte Carlo Open Masters. Sorry, it will start, it's starting now, but the action will start tomorrow morning early. So if you want to head across and get the bet on the tournament winner, you need to do so this evening, Sunday evening. We have five matches we're going to quickly run through. The first match we're going to speak about is Alex de Minaur against Stanislas Wawrinka. De Minaur is a heavy favourite here, minus 205. He's the number 11 seed. Stanislas Wawrinka is obviously a player here that's got the better clay court record over his career, obviously, but it comes towards the twilight of his career. But de Minaur is the favourite, minus 205. Minus 136 is for Stanislas Wawrinka. The spread is 2.5, minus 132 for the Aussie, giving up 2.5. Stanislas Wawrinka plus 2.5 is plus 104. The total here was 22.5 over, minus 103 under 125. Wawrinka got beat by Navoni, 2-1, which was our pick. We had a nice winner on that, nice plus 360. Winner, oh, was it 360? It was a bit, and it was a lovely price.
Plus 360, yeah.
Yeah, plus 360 over in Marrakesh. And de Minaur hasn't played since Miami. So this is his first match on clay, which I think takes a little bit to get used to. And I won't be rushing to back the Aussie at minus 205 here.
No, I won't back him on the money line, but I do quite like the same idea as we had in that Marrakesh match of de Minaur winning it by 2-1. As you say, little bit rusty, de Minaur, probably coming from hard courts to the clay. That said, I think first match here last year, he thrashed Andy Murray in his opening match here a year ago. But, he'll do well to do that again against a tour veteran. You feel like de Minaur's probably going to outlast Wawrinka in the end. Not got a fabulous record, de Minaur, on the clay, but he can play on it. He's played a lot on it as a younger man as well. Last 12 months on this surface at main level, virtually identical stats. Wawrinka's actually slightly better. Certainly better in terms of win rate. De Minaur, 44% win rate. Wawrinka, 52%. De Minaur service points, one and return points, one total, 101. Exactly the same as Wawrinka. Service hold and break total, 104 for De Minaur, 103 for Wawrinka. So very close on the clay stats. But if it does go the distance, you would heavily favour Alex de Minaur against Wawrinka, who's lost 7 of his last 8 matches now that have gone to a deciding set. And it's no surprise why. He's 39 years of age. I know the heat won't be here like it was in Marrakesh. That was obviously a factor in that Marrakesh bet. But I can't see him having the legs on de Minaur if this goes to a third. So plus 275 on de Minaur winning this by 2-1 with Bet Rivers. That's my lean on this one.
Yeah, plus 275. Head across over to the Bet Rivers website. If we're looking at the markets now, they start tomorrow at 6 a.m. in the morning. And there's 29 different markets available on these matches. Some really good matches as well. Not only the five we're talking about, it's some good first round matchups, very even matchups as well. So a great day of tennis across on the Bet Rivers website. And remember, if you do have a bet on the Bet Rivers website, you can bet live and watch live. You'll be able to live stream this match is from 5 a.m. in the morning, actually, not 6 a.m., 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern time. Another match which looks quietly interesting for me, Zhang against Giron. Nothing really separating the two of these players in the world rankings. I think Zhang is just inside the top 50 at 49. Marcus Giron is 51. This is Zhang's first match again on clay. Giron has had a few matches under his belt. He's won two last week in Houston before making the quarterfinals. He's had to travel across to Monte Carlo here, though. Zhang got beaten the first round in Miami, got beaten round 2 at Indian Wells. Looking at the odds here, -139 for Zhang on season debut on clay, +112 for Giron. The spread here is 1.5, it's -113 for Zhang, -113 for Giron. If you want to bet him, +1.5. And the total, same as the meanwhile match, is 22.5 with over -107, under -120. Interesting one, this one. Two players very, very evenly matched up on their rankings, but Giron, Zhang is a heavy favorite despite his first match on clay. I'm not really getting the reason why he's such a heavy favorite. I think he deserves to be favored. I don't think -139 is much value.
No, it's no value at all. I'm not sure about Zhang here, his favorite. Last 12 months on this surface at main level, it's advantage Giron. Zhang's got a service points 110.1 total of 100, Giron 101. Zhang's service hold and break total 101, Giron 106. So the last year on clay, it favours Giron. I said in one of the other shows that he's a much improved player on the clay in recent times. We backed him, in fact, last week, didn't we, to beat Shapovalov as underdog. That was handy as well. If you're looking at this season's stats on all surfaces, again, it does favour Giron. Service points 1 over 10 points, 1 total of 103. Zhang, 98. Service hold and break total of 104 for Giron. 99 for Zhang. So statistically, I'm not entirely sure where this price comes from. Matchup wise, I feel like maybe Zhang, with his extra power on this slow surface, he might be able to hit through it a bit better. But as you say, he's not been playing on the clay. Giron has. There's not a lot to like about Zhang as favorite here. I tend to prefer backing Giron maybe in the States. I'm not quite so sure about this very, very slow clay. That might be the only sort of crumb of comfort you've got if you're backing Zhang at odds on. If I was betting in this one, I'd certainly be taking Giron. I think his price is slightly bigger than when I saw it. It was evens when I saw it earlier on. Was he +112 now?
+112, and I think it's even going to get bigger. I think he's going to get bigger. The market's coming for Zhang, which I don't understand, but
I definitely 100% couldn't have Zhang at those prices. I would certainly be backing Giron if I was having a bet in this match. That is for sure.
So no official bet, just a lean towards Giron. We got the first one was official bet, wasn't it?
Alex, no, these two. Those two were just leans. The just official two, players are coming two. Up in a minute.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. Dan Evans up against Sebastian Offler. Two players in absolutely shocking form. They've both got identical records coming into it. Two wins in their last 10 apiece. They both lost their back-to-back matches in the round 16 in Marrakesh. Vukic beat Offner. I mean, that was a shocking performance from Offner there. And Kabash Baina beat Dan Evans on clay this year, which is Offner's favourite surface. He hasn't won a match in four matches. Both of them are struggling for any confidence whatsoever. Offner is -136 to win the match. Dan Evans is +110. We never know what Dan Evans is going to turn up. Going to be very temperamental, we know. The spread is 1.5, -1.5 for Offner, -109, +1.5 for Evans, -115. Total, again, 22.5 with over, -108, and under, -118. These two have never met before, but both of them shocking at the moment in their current form.
They are, but I couldn't back. This is a bad price on Offner. I couldn't back him at these prices. I've seen nothing from him all season, certainly on the clay, to make me think that he's a good favourite to win this match. He's not. Really, he's not ahead at all on the main level statistics for this season on all surfaces. He's not ahead on that. He's not ahead on the clay stats for the last 12 months at main level either. They're virtually identical. Evans is just 1 point ahead. Offner certainly isn't ahead. So Offner's not ahead on the numbers that they've produced this season. He's not ahead on the last 12 months on clay. I think this price is coming from this sort of historical idea that Offner is good on the clay, you know, and he used to be, but he used to play most of his matches on the clay. But now he seems to be saying, and he seems to be saying from his performances and his results that he's better on quicker surfaces on clay. Nothing, he had about as bad a golden swing as you can possibly get. And as you say, he lost to Vukic. I know it was a slightly quicker conditions on that day. It was a hot day, and you know, there's a bit of altitude. But even so, it's not good for him. I mean, the clay form that he's shown this season is no good. Evans has got a good record here. You know, he's beaten Novak Djokovic at this tournament. He's beaten Hercash at this tournament, beaten Lajovic at this tournament, made the semifinals in 2021. So he's very familiar with the conditions here. He has played well here before. Offner's never played here at all, by the way. So that's another negative for him. Evans also made the semifinals of Barcelona on the clay last year, which is a very prestigious clay court tournament. Again, slow conditions played at sea level. Evans beat Kashanov and Serendolo there. So if Evans is on a reasonable day, I think he's half a bit of value here at plus money. What is he, plus 110, Bet River?
Plus 110, yep.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that as an official play. I mean, it's two players in bad form, but for me, Offner's in worse form, and Evans certainly got the better results, even on clay, you know, in recent times, and specifically at this tournament.
Plus 110, Dan Evans, our first official pick for Monday. Head across to the Bet Rivers website and take that price, plus 110 for the Brit. Another Brit is in action, and the next match on... I'm quite surprised by these prices, actually. He's carrying Kachanov up against Cam Norrie. Kachanov is minus 150. Cam Norrie is plus 120. The spread here is minus 1.5. Minus 120 for Kachanov, giving up 1.5. Plus 1.5 for Cam Norrie is minus 106. And the total, again, 22.5. Very, very common number today, with over minus 112 and under minus 113. These two have met six times before, 3-3 on the head-to-head. The three times they played on clay, it's 2-1 to Norrie on the head-to-heads. And the last time they played on clay was in the French Open in 2022. And Kachanov started plus 152 to win that match. Today, yep, he's minus 150. He did win the match, but on these slow surfaces, it's not a surface that I'd want to be betting Kachanov on.
No, I think there's value on Norrie here.
Yeah.
It's double Brit for me, I think, today with Evans and Norrie. Not that I'm not being patriotic at all. I'm not really patriotic, but certainly not when it comes to tennis betting. It's whoever the value lies with, it lies with. And I feel like it lies with Cam Norrie a little bit here. The head-to-head on clay, as you said, 2-1 to Norrie. Service points, 1 in return, points, 1 totals. 101 to Norrie, 99 to Kachanov. So he's had the better of the series on this surface. He's held serve 7% more often than Kachanov in those three meetings. So Kachanov's bigger, more sort of aggressive, heavier game hasn't prevailed on the clay. If you look at the clay stats since the start of 2023 at main level, again, it's a slight advantage to Cam Norrie. Slightly better win rate, 68% compared to 67%, but that's pretty similar. Service points won and return points won total exactly the same, 104. Service hold and break total, 107 for Norrie, 105 for Kachanov. So there's no advantage on this surface statistically for Kachanov. The other thing that interests me is he has a much poorer win rate, Kachanov, against left-handers on clay than he does against right-handers. His win rate is 60% against right-handers on this surface. That falls to 45% against left-handers. And I feel like Cam Norrie's extremely flat backhand. It does stay very low. That, I think that can be uncomfortable for Kachanov. He's never happy with a low bounce. He likes it bouncing a bit higher. I feel like that's an area that Norrie can make him really uncomfortable. So I can't really see why Kachanov is at his favourite. At best, for me, this is like a 50-50. So if you're getting, what, plus 120 with Bet Rivers? Is that
plus 120, yeah.
Yeah, it's not outstanding, you know, drop everything and go and put a bet on value, but I think it's a reasonably clear bit of value. So Norrie there for me, yeah.
Yeah, and also I think the conditions, the weather's a bit rained around, isn't there, tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, I think, as well. Yeah. So when this match is played, I think the conditions are going to be suiting Norrie much more than Kachanov. If you've got to remember as well, Norrie grew up on the clay courts, you know, in Spain when he was a youngster, went out there and
played on Rio. You know, this guy can play on clay.
Plus 120, and the slower it is, the better. I think that's an absolutely brilliant price. I don't like betting the Brits. I don't like betting.
Neither do I, particularly,
but we've got to take it here, plus 120. The final match we are going to speak about for tomorrow sees Matteo Berrettini take on Kecmanovic. There has been a subject to a huge gamble in the last 24 hours for Matteo Berrettini, minus 136. He was initially with Bet Rivers. He's now minus $2. Kecmanovic is out to plus 155. The spread here has been bet from minus 110 for Berrettini, giving up 1.5 to now minus 159. And the total has come in for the unders from minus 122 to minus 112. Again, 22.5 is the line. Berrettini has never been someone that you would want to be taking on the slow courts of Monte Carlo. He's struggled with injury. He is showing signs of some improvement, but I think he's a long way off here. I know Kecmanovic is a little bit of a questionable opponent, but plus 155 does seem a little bit... I like swimming against the tide, and here the money for Berrettini just is relentless, and I'm not quite sure whether it's justified to be starting matches here at minus $2. They've only met once before, and Kecmanovic won it, and that was in Indian Wells in 2022 in three close sets, but Huge gamble from Berrettini.
I'm not sure what that's all about. I'm assuming it's all about the fact that he has played very well in Marrakesh this week, but he's still got a final to play there. You know, that hasn't started yet, has it? I don't think.
Nope.
He's got to play that, which could be an absolute grind against Roberto Carbajal Bain and the defending champion. I can't imagine that's going to be easy. That feels like it could be a three-setter or a really long two-setter. What's he going to have left in the tank for this? It's not like he's got like a Wednesday or Thursday start. He's got to be playing this match, I would imagine, Tuesday. He's got to get from Marrakesh, where there's a bit of altitude, about sort of 400 or 500 meters of altitude, down to sea level at Monte Carlo. Very different conditions. You know, he's played more tennis in the last 4 weeks, Berrettini, than any time in the last sort of year or so. So his body really isn't used to this kind of punishment. And he's, as I say, he's still got this final to play. Kecmanovic, as you say, very flaky. You never really know what you're going to get from him. He's not on a great run at the minute, but he's going to be way fresher, way more on his legs. And as you said, he's beaten Berrettini before in what are kind of not dissimilar conditions. Slow court at Indian Wells, high bouncing, not the kind of pace that Berrettini would prefer. And he was a 2-1 underdog that day, Kecmanovic. So he should fancy his chances here. And his clay stats are decent. Since the start of 2022, on this surface at main level, Kecmanovic, service points won and return points, one total of 104, and a service hold and break total of 109. These are very, very respectable stats indeed. Won 55% of his second serve points, which is 4% more than Berrettini has in that particular time frame. Kecmanovic is actually, interestingly, he's played two matches in Monte Carlo's main draw, both versus Italians, lost on both, hasn't won a set yet. Is it going to be third time lucky for him? But you'd think the situation of this match, the circumstances, would give him an excellent chance. He started well on the clay last year, did Kecmanovic, made the final in Estoril. This year, he got caught cold by Bautista Agut, who had come through qualies. But I wrote down plus 143 the last time I saw this price. It's obviously drifted out since then, based on a tide of money coming in for Berrettini. But I couldn't possibly back Berrettini at a price like that in these circumstances, where he's got hardly any time to prepare, as well as being fatigued. It's, you know, it's not easy getting to the final or potentially winning Marrakesh. It's very, very hot there. So nothing in that price for me for Berrettini. I would be backing Kecmanovic here if I was having a bet in this one.
Yeah, Kecmanovic isn't in the greatest of form, though. He's only won two of his last 10. He comes in on a four-match losing record. But this is Berrettini, who is coming back from a long injury absence. He's coming back to some kind of form. He really struggled against Andy Murray in Miami, you know, only a few weeks ago. He's gone to Marrakesh. He's won four matches. Two of them have gone the distance into a final set. And on an injury comeback then, to come back here and play a quick turnaround, the money is probably on the form we've shown, but it's, to me and Shauna, it's not justified here to be a minus $2 favourite. So that's it for today. Three official picks, two Brits and Kecmanovic.
Two Brits and Alcaraz.
Oh, and we're not going to go for Kecmanovic on the
I'm only having two bets. That's just a lean, really, for me.
Okay.
So Alcaraz obviously on the outrights, and the two Brits on the match bets. Yeah.
Alcaraz at plus 275 to win Monte Carlo. Currently plus 180 to win the French Open. Head across to the BetRivers website to get those outright prices. And the two picks for tomorrow: Dan Evans to beat an outperformed Sebastian Offner, who's 0-4 on clay, at plus 110. And Cam Norrie at what appears to be a massive price to me, plus 120 to beat Karin Khachanov, who in slow conditions is a fade for me all day long. Sean, thank you very much. We'll be back again on Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday, myself and Sean will be doing the podcast. I'll be flying out to Nice on Tuesday. I'll be at the tennis on Thursday. You can follow me at the tennis on our Instagram account, at Because We Win. Keep across all the socials on there, on Twitter as well as Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to this YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Give us a like, give us a review. Any questions you have for myself or Sean, please fire them across. And also subscribe to us on your preferred podcast provider on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. That's it for today. Carlos Alcaraz is the bet. The fade is Novak Djokovic and Jannik Sinner. He's got to be a bit wary sometimes. He's got to be telling on his body soon. That's the picks. Good luck.